This week marks the 450th birthday of William Shakespeare, and while the details of his birth are a bit hazy, there's a good chance that today is the actual day.
Our next guest brings Shakespeare to life in Wisconsin as an actor and a director, and by portraying Shakespeare himself in events around the state.
Ron Scott Fry is in our Milwaukee studio. He's artistic director for the Optimist Theater in Milwaukee. He's barnstorming Wisconsin in live events called To Be, Shakespeare Here and Now, including, by the way, tomorrow in Chippewa Falls. We've got a link to an event calendar from the Wisconsin Humanities Council on the Central Time Facebook page. You can find out where he's coming next. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're a missionary for all things Shakespeare. Why do you want 21st century Wisconsin to stay in touch with the Bard?
Because I want everyone's lives to be richer and everyone's lives to contain more fascination. And I love to see the look on people's faces when they confront things that are really challenging for them and are successful. Shakespeare is a perfect opportunity for people to do something that will enrich their lives, that requires something from them, but that makes them extraordinarily successful once they get it.
And you're an emissary for Shakespeare by becoming Shakespeare himself in performances. And it seems like we don't know a whole lot about Shakespeare. The details are a little bit hazy. Even his birthday is hard to pin down with exact certainty. So how do you get in character? How do you become William Shakespeare?
I try to have as good an understanding as I can of those few facts that exist. There aren't a lot of things that are known specifically about Shakespeare, but there are a lot of things that are known about the times that he lived in. There are a lot of things that people know about theater production from the time, and there are a lot of things that people know about his plays. And so a lot of the information I share may not be specific to Shakespeare the person, but has a lot to do with the times he lived in, the theater that he created, and his body of work. And once you add those things, it's the Herculean task of trying to narrow things down.
And when you're out there being Shakespeare, whether you're here in Wisconsin or I know you've been as far away as Italy to do this, what questions do people want to ask about or even of William Shakespeare?
A lot of people want to know what my favorite play is, which is a difficult question to answer because we have actually no historical record of what Shakespeare's favorite play was. But a lot of people will also ask about some of my pronunciations and some of the phrases that I use. For instance, I'll refer to the audience as gentle cousins. And frequently people will ask why I call them gentle cousins, and I'll explain that it's not the use of either of those words that they're familiar with. Gentle is like the gentle in gentleman. It is a sign of status. And cousin is a phrase that people in the Renaissance would use to call their friends. They would be cousin or cuz. So it gives me a fun chance to explain why I call them gentle cousins.
Now, I know you perform across Wisconsin, so we've asked you to give us a little taste of what it is that you bring when you become Shakespeare. Can you give us a little performance?
I absolutely will. I would love to. I want to do for you one of my favorite sonnets, and it's one of my favorites because it seems at the beginning almost like an anti-sonnet, almost like it is anti-romantic, but at the end it becomes very, very beautiful. My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. Now I have seen roses, damasked, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes there is more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she goes, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied by false compare.
Wow, he really does kind of sneak in the ending there, doesn't he?
It is like Rod Serling 400 years early.
Yeah, so yeah, it's all this underwhelming stuff, and yet it ends on a high note. What that is a favorite because of that twist there?
I like it because of the twist. I like it because of that sense of honesty. I like it because it's funny, and I like it because it's one of the first sonnets that I was ever exposed to, and so it's a personal favorite for that reason, too.
Do you think it gives us a taste of Shakespeare's personality?
I think it does. He's a wickedly, wickedly funny writer. We can only assume that he was a talented comic actor because he played roles in many of his plays, both comedies and tragedies, not just comedies and tragedies, histories, what we call problem plays. So he must have had just an absolutely delightful sense of humor. And yet from things that we see in the plays, things we see in the sonnets, he was also very, very self-effacing. And I think this sonnet includes some of both of those characteristics.
And I guess saying his mistress's breath reeks must not have meant the same thing in his day.
It didn't mean exactly the same thing, but it wasn't dissimilar.
Really? Okay, yeah. Interesting. Yeah, he's supposed to have coined hundreds and hundreds of words, right, that we still use today.
Yeah, hundreds of words, hundreds of phrases. I think it's absolutely delightful that he coined the phrase household word.
And now he is one himself. Are there any Shakespeare plays that you think really resonate with us that capture the 21st century audience?
I think actually most of them do, and I know that sounds like a cop-out, but we're working on Winter's Tale for Shakespeare in the Park here in Milwaukee this summer, and Winter's Tale is not frequently performed, but as we go through the text and try to discern the meanings and the relationships and the beauty of the poetry, we find that Winter's Tale is completely applicable to personal, political, and power and gender situations that we face today. And that's a fairly – it's not an obscure play, but it's not that frequently performed. So I think most of them do. I think that Shakespeare's themes are – I hate to put it this way because it's such a cliche, but they really are universal. The things that he writes about, the characters that he create, transcend his time and are completely applicable to our time and probably just about every time in between his and ours.
And Ron, in our last moments right now, tomorrow we're going to be asking our listeners to share some of their favorite villains of all time. Shakespeare's plays are rife with villains. Do you have a favorite Shakespearean bad guy?
Oh, boy, that's really tough to narrow down. And one of the reasons it's tough to narrow down is because there aren't as many strict bad guys as you might think.
Iago?
Iago is one of them. Iago is a delightful bad guy, and he is richly and delightfully free of any redeeming qualities.
There we go. That's what we're looking for in
so,
a bad guy.
Absolutely. Iago. And Richard III is a fabulous bad guy, and especially delightful because Shakespeare's presentation of Richard III is not politically accurate.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Ron. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Thank you for celebrating with us.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
That was Ron Scott Fry helping us celebrate Shakespeare's birthday. He's artistic director for Optimist Theater in Milwaukee.